Well, good morning again. My name is Dominic, one of the pastors here, and we're so glad whatever brought you here, whoever or whomever, I can never know which one that is, brought you here today. We're glad you're here this morning and decided to spend Easter with us. Easter, for many of us, is an idea about a new start. It's about something new happening in the world, that there was one thing, and then something happened, and now there is a new thing. And even if you're not a church person, even if you're saying, you know, someone just promised me brunch afterwards, and so can you just hurry so we can get there? Whatever brought you here today, we know about this. You know about this. You know about new starts. In fact, you don't even have to go that far back into history. You don't even have to go 2,000 years ago back into history. Go, for example, back to like the 16th century Europe. I think it's fascinating. I was reading about that this week, of everything that happened during 16th century Europe. So right around when Columbus was on his last voyage back to Europe, around the beginning of the 16th century, around that time, Leonardo was painting the Mona Lisa. Michelangelo sculpted the David, and then he followed that up by doing the Sistine Chapel. And all of those happened within 10 years. In fact, if you were born in the kind of mid-16th century Europe, you would have seen a religious reformation, which despite whatever background you may have around religion, it was this foundational shaking of how people understood the religious organization and how they understood God. You would have seen the invention of the watch, of the ability to fine-tune an instrument, to tell daily time periods. You would have seen newspapers in this start of widespread information that we still are experiencing and maybe even working in today. You would have seen people observe space and rethink how this planet relates to other planets and stars in our universe. And all of these things were happening aligned with what was going on at the beginning of the 16th century, the late 15th century, this discovery of what they saw as the new world. And how that new world discovery challenged how people thought and acted. You can think back to like Magellan circumventing the globe and people saying, oh, you didn't fall off the map when you got over here? He's challenging what was held belief that maybe the earth ends at this point. You look at Copernicus and later Galileo and him saying, hold on, the centuries, literally centuries of thinking of the way people have understood how this earth relates to the sun is maybe wrong. There was this new world that people were discovering. It was challenging how the previous understanding of the world worked. In fact, one modern-day sociologist sums it up this way. He said, Europe's imaginative capacity was unleashed not by the discovery of learning, not that they got smarter, not that they studied harder, but it was by the discovery of the new world and the effect that those new horizons had on an old world. Scientists and artists and reformers are imbued with this vision that life is meant to be lived on a new horizon. When we talk about Easter, when we talk about resurrection, that's what we're talking about, that something new has happened, something new is happening. And my hope for you today, my desire for you today is that you would hear that new thing. My hope for you today is that you would consider that maybe where a new start needs to happen for you. Maybe just as Laura and Brandon have talked about, maybe you've come here today with a story that you just feel like, I could really use a new start today. I want you to hear that hope today of Easter. I want you to hear these songs that we've been singing, that resurrection still happens today. I want you to hear this hope that whatever story you've brought in, that there can be a new start. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 28. You can Google it. You can also find it on the screen above me. But before we get into what the Bible has to say here in Matthew's description of Jesus' life and on earth, would you join with me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for this day to gather, for this moment just to stop in the middle of all of our lives and all of the craziness and busyness. Everything that has brought us here and everything that will happen after we leave here today, just to be still, as we were told a moment ago, to listen, to hear what you would have to say to us. That maybe today, God, that you, this would be a life-changing moment for someone today, of a new start for them today. We pray for places just like this all over the world in different cultures and languages that are taking this moment to look back on this resurrection event 2,000 years ago and what it means today. We think about those who, even as we read this morning, have already suffered overnight for what they believe. We pray, God, for some healing in this world, of you to start, continue to bring what you started back then, to continue to bring resurrection right here and now. And God, we ask that it would start with us. So we open our ears and we're ready to listen to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew's telling his version of Jesus' story on earth, and it ends in the last chapter here, Matthew chapter 28, and here's where he talks about Easter, and he talks about the resurrection, then he has a few other things to say to us. And so it goes like this: after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down, we'll talk more about that in a second, from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. And the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen, just as he said. So come and see the place where he lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I've told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. And suddenly, Jesus meets them and says, "Greetings." And they came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid, for go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, where they will see me." Now, several things capture our attention right off the bat with this story. First is how Matthew tells this story with this language that's kind of reminiscent of creation. He uses images of dawn, of a new day, of a new week. He uses this image of light. And in fact, for people who would be hearing this story, Matthew's story, and they would look back to their history and look back to even the telling of Genesis and the beginning of what they understood how the world came to be. And they would see, okay, this is like a creation kind of story. This is something new going on. Not only do we see kind of this new thing happening in Matthew's story, we see a lot of movement going on. So the women are going to the tomb. The angel comes down from heaven. Jesus comes to the women. The women go to the disciples. There's a lot of movement going on in this story. But we also see, reading this story, hearing this story, this sense of transcendence in it. Like there's something kind of very deep going on in this story. There's something profound going on in this story. It says that there was an earthquake, which, living in this area, we know what earthquakes are like. But also, you need to think about earthquake as also something that's shaking the foundations of what's settled. Not only that, their angels have come down, and whatever we may think about that, you just think of like somehow this barrier that we tend to create between heaven and earth maybe is not much of a barrier anymore, because now things of heaven are now on earth. And oh, by the way, someone who was dead is now alive. So the way the world works, the powers and the things of this world that to say this is how the world works may not necessarily work that way anymore. There's a lot in the beginning of Matthew's telling of this Easter story that he says that resurrection is this new thing. In fact, he sums it up. Probably my favorite part is those first three words: after the Sabbath. The Sabbath was the first day of the week. So like the first day after the first day. So this is about a new thing, the first thing after the first thing. It's a new first thing going on in the world. There's something new going on with this transcendence, this sense of like something has changed here. You know what that's like. Think about the last time you got a job. You applied for a job. You went through the whole search process, all the interviews. And then came that day, like your first day at work. And you kind of like, maybe you didn't sleep well at night. Maybe you like laid out your clothes the next day. You know, whatever it was. But you had this sense like something new starting. If you're a parent, maybe you've had that with kids, like they move from elementary school to middle school, or middle school to high school, or high school to college, and you go, you're starting a new season of life. Well, no, just one day, change a calendar. No. It wasn't just this day went to that day, and now you got to go over there. You know that something transcendent, something deep within who they are is changing. Matthew tells us that this is a story about new beginnings. So resurrection is about creation. It's about movement. It's about transcendence as something new, a new first is happening. And this group of people, these women are part of this. They say, we want to be part of resurrection. They're running into this resurrection thing. And while that's all happening, while that group is wrestling with and moving towards resurrection, there's another group trying to stop it. Look what happens next, verse 11. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day, Matthew writes in his day. Just as there was one group moving towards and moving with resurrection, there was another group saying, we want this to end. These soldiers, these particular religious leaders, they try to explain away resurrection. Like, they have this idea. We know how the world works. Angels stay in heaven. Messiahs stay dead. That's how our world works. And now you're saying something's changed? No. We've got an explanation for that. We can create committees for that. We can build stories for that. We got your back if you want to keep up with that story. And we're going to make sure that story tries to get out, because that's not how we want the world to work. I think it's a fascinating contrast seeing the first 10 verses and then these next set of verses. You have these people saying, we want to be a part of this new world, and you have another group of people saying, how dare you? You've seen this. You've seen this maybe at different critics in your life. Maybe you look again at different points in your career. Maybe you've been in a place in your career where you're like, this, I think, is the best way for our team to go. This could really help our organization. And here comes that person bringing a clamp down on your idea. Maybe you've got this dream and this idea that you've been dying to share, and you share it with someone you love, and they just explain away why it won't work. And you're just like, oh. There are people who don't want resurrection to happen. There are people who don't want a new world to happen. To them, resurrection is a threat. It's a threat to people who don't want a new world. Thank you very much. We were fine knowing that the earth ended at this particular point. We don't want that. But the option isn't really there. It's kind of humorous. They can't really explain away the resurrection. But they try, because that's how they can get more comfortable and build control, is if we can tell a story. Resurrection is a threat to people who don't want a new world. But watch this. Resurrection is also a threat to you and to me, and to our willingness to step into a new world. I was talking with a friend just recently who lost someone dear to him. And we were talking about this whole fascinating but challenging experience of grief. Maybe you've experienced that. And how you kind of like, I know what life was like with this person. This person, unfortunately, now is gone. And I know what life requires of me now with this new change. But I kind of feel like I'm right in the middle right now. I kind of was comfortable here. I knew how to do things here. I knew how to operate. I knew what to say. I knew where to go. I know I need to go here, but I know there's a lot of uncertainty here. And we talked about the challenge of that. I feel that challenge. Maybe you feel that challenge. Maybe you've been in a place where you're kind of, you feel like you're right in between these two things. I know I need to go there. I know kind of life is moving that direction, but I'm not sure I can take that step. It's a threat to us. It's a threat to our willingness to say, I'd rather have comfort over movement. I'd rather stay where I am than join God in what he's doing in the new thing. Resurrection is a threat to us in that way. It's a lot easier for us to do like the soldiers and the religious leaders and propose plans, convene committees, spin stories, because if we can explain why we feel uncomfortable, then we can control it. We don't actually have to take a step forward. We actually don't have to let go and move towards something new. Growing up, my dad taught me how to ride a bike, and maybe like you learned how to ride a bike. He did the thing where he like holds on, behind the seat while I'm kind of up here trying to pedal fast, and we're trying to get the physics down of how tightly, you know, he holds and walks, and I'm trying to pedal so I just, like, don't just tip over. And I was thinking about that story in relation to this because I was thinking, I was like, you know what? I was never afraid about riding a bike. I really enjoyed riding bikes. And later, as I got older, I enjoyed riding bikes with friends, and this is just something we would do in the neighborhood. I was never afraid in that moment. Even thinking back in that moment, I was never afraid about the prospect of riding a bike. I wanted to ride the bike. You know what I was afraid of? I was afraid of my dad letting go. There's a big difference between those two things. There's a big difference between being afraid to ride the bike and being afraid of my dad letting go into that, and then me having to face that new world on my own on that bike. Because here's the thing, if my dad never let go, it would get really awkward when I was 13 and I'd like show up with my friends and I'm like, hey, my dad's just gonna run with me as we ride bikes. Is that cool, everybody? That would have been weird. No, you know what? You know why. If he never let go, I would have never learned to ride a bike. I would have never moved into that new space. I would have never moved into that new season. I would have never left this old world into this new thing. I was quite comfortable being uncomfortable because I could control that. I can't control what happens after he lets go. But I think that's what resurrection does. Resurrection says there's something new. There's something that you're being called to that sometimes means like, okay, I'm going to let go of this thing because this is where God is working. Jesus was raised from the dead. A bunch of people said, this is what we want to be a part of. Even with all the movement and the chaos of it, another group said, we don't want this to happen, as if they could control it. But Jesus says, this is the way. This is the way the world now works. And you kind of understand that by what happens next, because Jesus has a task, something he says to his closest followers at this time in these next set of verses. Verse 16, Matthew chapter 28. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is interesting because it starts with that he shows up with his disciples, and it says that some worshiped him and some doubted him, which at first seems like really strange. Like, how can they doubt the resurrection when Jesus is physically standing right there? But then you start to think about it, it makes a lot of sense, because this wasn't so much the point of him physically standing there, although I do believe he was. The point was, is that if Jesus is alive, then this now means something. That the tension the disciples felt there, the tension his close followers felt there was like, uh-oh, this changes our plans for next week. Like, Jesus was dead, and now he's standing in front of us. This is going to change a lot. And so they move from like, here, so we understand how things work now, to this is now something new. I'm not sure if I want to be a part of this. You were dead a couple days ago, now you're alive. Some of them get it. Some of them like, yeah, I'm all in. We know those people. Maybe you're one of those type people like, yeah, anything new, I'm all in. And then there's some others who are like, I'm not sure I'm ready to take that step yet. That's the tension they were feeling. And Jesus, to this audience, to these guys, says to them this. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. In other words, Jesus can do whatever he wants. Tell you what, if you rise from the dead, I will give you permission to do whatever you want too. Yeah. Jesus can do whatever he wants. He can command whatever he wants. He can ask of them whatever he wants. And here's what he wants them to do. He says, therefore, I want you to go. Probably not what we would expect. Hold on, Jesus. Don't we want to like stay and kind of commemorate this moment? No. I could do anything I want, and I want you to go. What's that all about? I think that's about Easter. I think resurrection, what Jesus is saying, is like resurrection isn't about staying. It's about going. It's about taking that next step. And oh, by the way, you 11 guys, I want you to kind of lead that charge out into the world. Yeah, I know you're trying to figure out, some of you are fully in and some of you are like kind of in, but I want, no matter where you are, I want you to be a part of this, because now this is the new normal. This is the new world we now live in, and I want everyone to hear this, because that's what he says next. He says, I want you to go and make disciples, which are followers or learners, if that's a better word for you, of all nations. So there's not, it's not like these people get left out and like, I didn't like those people, so let's not them. No, it's everyone. We want everyone to be a part of this. We want everyone to see there's a new world. So Jesus says, I want you to go. And to go means that they don't stay, that they don't stay in that one place, that they go to new nations and new people and new cultures. But to go also means they don't stay as they are. I could do anything I want. Here's what I want for you. I want you to take a next step. And as you're doing that, you're going to find yourself in a place to help others take a next step. That's what we saw in that video this morning, by the way. You had people who said, we want a new thing for this young woman, and we're going to be a part of it. Jesus says, therefore, go. Easter happened, therefore, go. Help bring this Easter thing into the world. That's why when the angel says to the women, the angel says he is not here, that makes a lot of sense, because resurrection was never about staying here. It's always about going there. That there's a new start for people. This is that love of God. This is the love of God carried out and acted out into the world that Brandon was talking about earlier. Of a God who says, I want you to live into this new world. We've muddied ourselves and been stuck in this old world for so long. There's something better. There's something better for you. Jesus starts this movement, and through these guys would say, like, we want the whole world, we want every nation to hear this new thing and to say, I want to be a part of that. That's my hope for you. That's my hope for you here, sitting here today in 2019 at Easter, that you would hear something new, that you would maybe consider taking a next step, a new step. In fact, as the biblical writers tell the story of God, they tell this story, that humanity's been stuck in kind of this, you could use this image, kind of like an old world, that things haven't played out as we would best hope, that things are quite destructive both in us and around us. And at times, we even find that we perpetuate that destructiveness. But God has done something. He started something. He didn't have to, but he did. Out of his love for you, that Jesus died, as we talked about at Good Friday, and today we celebrate that he rose, that there was a new life to come, that one thing ends so that one new thing could begin. And that's the story for you and for me, is that the life that we've lived in this old world can end, and a new life with God can begin. That's part of the language of this baptizing of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is how people were going to be a part of what Jesus was doing. This is his desire. It's his desire in that day. It's his desire in this day for you as well, that you would say yes and take a new start with Jesus. This is where Easter becomes really personal. Because it's easy to keep Easter there. It's easy to say, we're here. I said yes to this hour 15, or whatever we're doing today. I've said yes to that. But if you could just kind of keep your message to yourself, that would be great. But this is where the Easter story starts to leak a little bit. Where you and I have to kind of ask ourselves, are there places maybe where we need a new start? It was fascinating listening to the songs and the lyrics that we sang today, because there's songs about resurrection happening in people and happening still today. And you're probably thinking, you got the songs wrong. And that was something that happened 2,000 years ago. No. Resurrection still happens today. People move from death to life today. People move from shame to strong identity and true identity today. People move from despair to joy today. People move from defeat to victory today, and maybe that's where you are today, that you need that new start. Maybe resurrection is something deeply personal to you, and that's my hope for you today, is that you would hear that that's possible in Jesus. That because of what Jesus has done, there is an after the Sabbath. for you. There's a new first for you. Today could be the day where you say, okay, I was here, and now I'm going to go here. So maybe the question for you today is this, what new start do you need to make? For some of you, you probably have like an idea in your mind. I've been talking for the last 25 minutes. You're like, I know this relationship has been going on in my mind, and I've heard this, this is probably what he's talking about. And so for you, maybe you just need to listen to that today. Maybe there's a relationship you need to heal, and the new start would be a new start to that relationship today. That would be resurrection. Maybe there's a change you need to make, and you've been wrestling with this and wrestling with this and wrestling with this. And you say, oh, okay, now I know why this has been on my mind for the last month, because of Easter, and there needs to be a new start today. Maybe you need to stay right where you are. Maybe you're like, you need to stay right in your job. Maybe some of you are in a marriage that you're just thinking like, I gotta get out of this. And maybe you just need to stay for a second and to say, look, we need some outside help to this. We want to see resurrection happen. Maybe there's something in your family that you go like, hey, we need to kind of shift where our kids are headed. We kind of need to shift where their values are focused right now. And we say, we need something new happening. That's resurrection. That is possible today in Jesus. Maybe for you today is something deeply personal. Maybe it's your relationship with God. Maybe you've kind of left God at a distance, and today could be the start where you say, all right, I'm choosing to believe that God is one who loves me, and God has done something for me that no one else could do, and I'm going to take that step today. What's your new step today? What's your new thing, your new first today? That's what resurrection's about. That's what Easter's about. That's where you and I, Easter becomes very personal for us. As a church, we try to give time for that. Later, you'll see people down here and in the back who would love to pray with you and talk with you about those new first things. But resurrection, Easter, is about that. It's about moving from here to here. One last piece. All week long in my office, I've been blasting Gustav Mahler's Second Symphony. Anyone familiar with it? Good, this will go over really well then. So Mahler's Second Symphony, you should go listen to it later. Mahler's Second Symphony is often titled the Resurrection Symphony. His title, I believe, not mine. And it's a fascinating symphony. It's really intense. If you like classical music, it's a really intense piece. A lot of like brass and percussion. I mean, it's this huge piece. And you're like, you kind of listen to it from the first note, and it just kind of jolts you. And it goes on and on and on and on through these five movements. And kind of midway through the fifth movement, something happens as he tells the story of death and suffering. And then he starts to talk about resurrection. The whole thing kind of opens up. You should go listen to it later, at least the fifth movement, the last half of the fifth movement. It kind of opens up, and there's this brightness to it. And a soprano comes in, which we hadn't heard any voices to this point, and a choir comes in, and they start to sing about this. They start to sing about resurrection. Here's some of the words from that end of that fifth, the dramatic close in the fifth movement of Mahler's Second Symphony. He says, oh, believe that you were not born for nothing. Excuse the double negatives, not mine. You have not for nothing lived or suffered. What was created must perish. But, here he comes, what perished, rise again. So cease from trembling and prepare yourself to live. That's that. That's that movement from old world. New world. That's the new first. That's resurrection. Yes, you've had a life. Yes, all of this has led up to this moment. Oh, but there's another moment you didn't see. And today, God is calling you into that. God loves you. He is for you. And his desire for you is for that new first. I want to pray for us, pray for you as you consider your next step, your new first with God. And as we do that, then we're going to close with a song. Would you join with me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you that you displayed love for us in Jesus, that something changed dramatically. Something changed on Good Friday, and something changed on Easter, and we celebrate that today. that today we can take a new step, that we can live in a new world. And I pray, God, for each of us in this place as we consider what that means for us, no matter whether we consider ourselves a Christian or not, that this means something for us, that we would find the courage in you to take that new step. That for anyone who needs space for that today, God, that they would find that with this church community. That as the week goes on and we think about this and we consider the ways that you've been speaking, the situations that you've aligned, that we would listen and be willing to take a risk. Lead us into places not that we desire, not that are formed by our opinion, but that are that new world that is found in you, that Jesus inaugurated and is calling us into. And may we continually be on the lookout, watching and listening for ways that we can extend that new world right where we are. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, God, that you are for us. And we choose to build our life on something that matters more than anything else.